What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson. Let's get this started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 25. Today, we're going to be talking about the deficiencies of vegan diet, going over various vitamins and minerals, proteins, fats, things like that that can be lacking in that diet. But first, let's do a little check-in. So, Tom, what's going on with you?
So this is going to be, like, really recent. Last night I was in Antioch. My parents live in Antioch. And while I was out there, I came across a little tiny white dog. So I went up to it, came up to my car, picked it up. This is, like, 9 o'clock at night. No caller. So I'm like, okay, great. Can't call anything. And the area that I picked it up in, it's kind of close to, like, a wilderness area. So there's, like, plenty of coyotes, mountain lions, raccoons, bobcats. Just anything that could kill and eat this little, like, 10, 15-pound dog. So I grabbed it, took it home with me. This morning, went around to the vets to get the chip scan, see if it has one. It doesn't have a chip. So today I've been, like, posting pictures on Facebook and anything, trying to find the owners of this little white dog. And kind of funny is a couple years ago, how I got my first dog is we found a dog on Christmas Eve, just wandering around in the parking lot of my apartment complex. So we take it home. A couple days later, we take it to PetSmart to get the chip scanned, and sure enough, this dog does have an owner. But while we're at that PetSmart, they're doing adoptions. So we adopted our first dog that way. So it's just kind of funny, like, we keep getting these dogs on Christmas. And that's two out of the last three Christmases that we've found a dog.
So are you okay now with having three dogs?
No.
So you don't want to keep it?
Sorry, I was not yelling for no at the podcast. The new dog that we have was about to just pee on our tree. So that was not an emphatic no to your question. Sorry, I might have a couple other loud outbursts like that yelling at this new dog. I think we'll keep him if we can't find the owner. I mean, option one is find the owner. If that doesn't go through, then I think we'll keep him. He obviously has an owner. He's way too small to be surviving out, especially in that area that we found him. And he's white and relatively clean, so he couldn't have been lost for more than a couple hours. Yeah, so, yeah, we just got that new dog. That's the next couple of days. We're just going to be trying to find the new owners or, I guess, welcoming another dog to the family.
That's so, three better than two, I guess.
Yeah, we've my girlfriend's been wanting to get a third dog. I've kept that option kind of just open in case something like this happens where we either find one or somebody needs to rehome a dog, so... Three dogs can't be that much harder than two.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty funny. I got a really good workout in with him. So I guess about a half hour ago, took him outside to go to the bathroom. He's been pretty good with me, so I didn't think, like, you know what, if I don't collar him or leash him, like, he'll probably just come right back to me. No, completely wrong. He's just, like, making rounds, like, peeing on a couple trees, a couple bushes. And then when it's like, okay, it's time to go back inside, go to grab him, the little bastard decides to run away from me and just keeps running. So I'm outside chasing him. Then he decides to run to a main street. So I'm outside chasing this dog, running around the main street. So, like, there's cars coming. Luckily, like, every single car probably sees my big ass and not the little dog.
Yeah.
So they're stopping. And this dog is not afraid of cars whatsoever and even knows his size. So he's running, like, there's a truck stopped. I try to run around the truck. He runs underneath the truck. And, like, just playing all these little games, not letting me catch him. I'm chasing him around traffic. I was drenched in sweats, doing all these different sprints and cuts. If you've ever seen the first Rocky movie where he's out there trying to chase that little chicken, that was me for a good, like, half hour, just drenched in sweat, looking like an idiot, chasing a dog in front of traffic.
So you only caught him when he slowed down?
I didn't even catch him. I had, like, this caused quite a bit of traffic. So there was about three other people outside trying to chase this dog too with me. And then he eventually went up to another car and they opened up the door and the dog jumped in the car. Oh, and then God. They just held him there. Then I walked up and got him.
You got to train that dog.
Well, I've had him like 12 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so, at least I got a good workout in this morning. It was a lot more than I anticipated. I wasn't expecting to do a bunch of sprints and cuts and shit, but nice little HIIT training session.
Maybe that's why you found him in the first place. Maybe he did that last night and the owner was like, screw it. Like, just stay outside.
Oh, if I wasn't in shape right now, like, there's no way I would have been able to keep up with that dog.
Yeah, it would have been done.
Yeah, I was exhausted. I'm, like, sitting there drenched in sweat. I was sweating through, like, my t-shirt and into my hoodie. Like, you could see the sweat on my hoodie. It looked like I just went on, like, a 5-mile run.
Oh, yeah. That's too much. You can have the dog.
Yeah, it was a solid 20 minutes or so. Like, yeah. It wasn't like, oh, one sprint, he just stopped. Like, I'm surprised, like, he didn't get tired. I was waiting for him to get tired, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. I was having that dog in his prime, man. It's going to be hard to outrun him.
Those four legs are such an advantage.
I know, right? Well, I guess, man, going on with me is not that exciting compared to that. So, last night I had a little, like, a family get-together. I don't know, like, a bunch of people, well, not a bunch of people, but a few people that were sick, coughing, you know, running noses, a bunch of kids were there, and...
That's typical this time of year, yeah.
It is, yeah. And I haven't gotten sick in so long. It's been years, literally. And this morning I woke up with kind of a runny nose and a little bit of a sore throat. And I was like, damn, like, it finally happened, you know? And I was kind of looking back and wondering what happened, because I always feel like I'm so bulletproof. So, like I touched on last week's podcast, I've been a little more lax with my food lately. And I kind of went, I mean, not crazy with it, but I definitely had a few days where I ate whatever I wanted. Like, there was some cheesecake at work, and I ate, like, half a whole cheesecake. Just, like, eating almost whatever I want. As long as I got my protein in for the day, like, as long as I hit my meat, like, marker, I was eating whatever I wanted extra on top of it, you know? And so I've been doing that for, like, a week, and I didn't take a cold shower the other day because, like, my wife had changed the temperature, and I didn't realize it until I got in there. And by the time I turned it back to cold, it never really got that cold. And then going to the family gathering, I think just a combination of all those things kind of finally pushed me over the top.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks, but it is what it is.
I guess you're about due.
I'm about due. Yeah, exactly. And I'm not dying. I'm fine. And so today what I did is I did a lot of salt water this morning, like gargling with warm salt water. And I did an hour steady state cardio, just sweating as much as I could. Nothing too intense, but in a hoodie and a beanie and I got a flannel shirt on. And I'm going to fast all day today. And hopefully by tomorrow, I can get this little virus taken, you know, under control.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, I usually just fast. It's fast and bone broth. That's about it.
Yeah, so that's the plan. I think I'll be fine by tomorrow. But I guess that kind of leads us into the topic of the podcast. Not at all, but I guess we can talk about it.
I mean, they're both about health.
Yeah, health-ish, yeah. So we wanted to just touch on the vegan diet, and it's a kind of a buzzword nowadays. It's very popular, and or at least it seems very popular because the people who do it seem to be, you know, Hollywood actors, and you hear about it on TV, so it seems like it's a bigger movement, when I think it really is. But I guess you want to go in the difference between, like, what is a vegan and what is a vegetarian?
Yeah, so I guess, like, the real word would be, like, plant-based, like a vegetarian, vegan, ovo-lacto-vegetarian,
yeah,
whatever
that is.
Yeah,
different types of vegetarians, yeah.
Yeah, pescatarian. Yeah, those are all basically just plant-based, where meaning, like, you're going to get the bulk of your calories from plants. So, like, the difference between, like, a vegan and a vegetarian is, like, vegetarians will still eat, like, ovo-lacto will still eat eggs and dairy. That kind of depends on how strict that they are. And then also, like, a pescatarian will eat fish, but that's the only sort of meat. So, like, definitely no chicken, no beef, no pork, no land animals whatsoever. Vegans, anything that has an animal, they don't eat or also wear. So, like, vegans won't wear leather shoes, leather belts. They won't have leather seats in their car. You know, just, like, that's a whole other lifestyle. That's a step beyond just being a vegetarian. It's not a diet, it's lifestyle. So those are a couple of the differences, but plant-based is pretty much going to be the broad spectrum term to get everybody involved in. And part of the reason that those are so popular right now is if you watch Netflix, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a Netflix account, most of the documentaries on there that are about health are plant-based documentaries, like What the Health, Forks Over Knives, Do you know any of the other ones that are really popular like that?
Those are the two big ones.
Yeah, Forks Over Knives is like a big movement. Like they got tons of, every time I go to Sprouts or Whole Foods, I see all their magazine articles and stuff like that. They're a pretty big one. That's also a textbook for, one of my friends is taking a nutritional class and they had to read Forks Over Knives for their nutritional class. And I was like, that is ridiculous that they're, it's that prominent now.
That's crazy. It really is.
Yeah. I was like, half of what you learn is going to be right, and half of what you learn is going to be completely wrong. So I'm like, okay, I guess that's typical of a nutritionalist information, though.
It is, and just think how many people are so like dogmatic with the things they learn in college that it has to be true. Like, this is going to shape how they think for the rest of their careers, for the most vast majority of them, you know?
And it's really hard to unlearn something. Once you learn it, like, you need a lot of evidence on the contrary for you to be like, you know what? Maybe that isn't right.
And like, maybe I was wrong. Like, maybe some of the advice I'd given the past 10 years wasn't right.
Yeah, you need a lot of strong, strong evidence. So it just sucks that you're getting started off on the wrong foot. And you have to actively educate yourself to change your mind. Like, you know, that the influence is going to have to come from within. Like, you're not just going to come across another class unless you have a very great teacher that's going to teach you something that's not on the regular curriculum. So yeah, those are kind of the differences. We'll just use plant-based from now on, just because that's the broad spectrum term between the vegans and the vegetarians.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's good. Well, I know when a lot of people transfer over, or I guess start a vegan diet, a lot of them initially say that they feel better, that they like it, they have more energy, they feel stronger. What do you think that's about?
Well, I mean, it all depends on where you're coming from. So most likely you're coming from the standard American diet, you know, the typical food pyramid or the MyPlate, which tells you to eat a shit ton of rice, a shit ton of bread, and like all this pasta, all this processed food. So if you just cut out a shit ton of processed food, you're going to feel better. Like, you're just cutting out the very worst things of your diet. Yeah, you should be feeling better.
Exactly. Because we're not here to particularly bash veganism 100%. I mean, I don't agree with it at all. But are we saying that kale is worse than, like, a candy bar? Definitely not.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, a Snickers bar and, like, an avocado, they're about the same, in, like, when it comes to calories. But, no, there's a big difference between the actual nutrient content of those two foods.
Exactly. So if you're going from eating, you know, a box of cereal every morning, and then for lunch you have whatever, a sandwich, and for dinner you have some fast food. Instead of that, if you're having, you know, quinoa and beans for lunch, you're probably going to feel better for at least a few weeks, a few months, a few years.
Yeah, and honestly, like, if that is as far as you're going to go with your diet, that's way better than being from the standard American diet, if that's as far as you can go. But one of the problems with being like a vegan or vegetarian is like you're being very, very restrictive. Like, especially on a vegan diet, you're being very restrictive on what you're putting into your body. And I think like a lot of people are on that type of diet because they're like, if I'm sacrificing so much, it has to be good for me. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, if you're spending hours and hours in the gym, you know, like, that's a sacrifice. That sucks. But you know you're going to get the results that you want. Like, I think most people who are on a vegan diet, they think this way. But, you know, there's a lot of smarter ways you can be doing it.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's really the problem I have with the vegan diet. Even, I guess, a vegetarian diet is that they're not particularly bad compared to the standard American diet. And in a lot of ways, they can be better. But to argue that they're healthier from a nutrition standpoint than an animal-based diet, I just don't think is true. And I think we're going to go over it, obviously, in this podcast. There are plenty of vitamins and minerals that you either can't get on a plant-based diet, or the form that you do get isn't very absorbable. And those deficiencies cause problems.
Humans are designed to eat meat. I feel like we've talked about this in damn near every single podcast, but like, if we didn't eat meat, we would have just died. There are very, very few like plant sources available during wintertime, springtime. Like, basically summer and fall is the only time you're really going to be getting like a lot of food from plants. So we would have died off a long time ago if we weren't eating animals and eating animals all the time.
So really, so, the big problem with the vegan diet, which I think summarizes it perfectly, is just malnutrition. So the definition of malnutrition is a lack of proper nutrition caused by not having enough to eat, not eating enough of the right things, or being able to use the food that one does eat. So that's the issue we're going to talk about here.
Yeah, there's a couple reasons that we can eat food and then just not being able to use it. So this is a conversation, or this is an argument that I've had with many like of my vegetarian friends, is chimpanzees and gorillas are our closest living relatives. They live primarily off of plants, so why can't we? And like part of the reason is our digestive systems are completely different from each other. So, for example, like a human has a very, very large small intestine and a relatively small large intestine. But when you look at a chimpanzee, or a gorilla is an even better example of this, they have small intestines and gigantic large intestines. And that's just because large intestine is where you're going to break down fiber into fatty acids. We eat most of our fatty acids straight up, so we don't need to convert fiber into fatty acids. That's why we don't have that gigantic large intestine. We don't need it.
Exactly. Yeah, gorilla, they're called hindgut fermenters. And of course they are like our closest living relatives. And just go look up a picture of a gorilla. They have huge stomachs. The capacity and the volume needed as far as eating cellulose all day to extract just the bare minimum requirements to live, you need way more volume than we do. We have very small, just our GI tract in general is tiny. But as far as proportions goes, our small intestine is way bigger than anything else. And our small intestines are designed to break down, mobilize, and extract all the nutrients we can out of meat.
Yeah, so that's pretty much why like a healthy human has a flat stomach, but a healthy gorilla is still going to have a beer belly.
Yes.
It's that large intestine is where the big differences are. I was a little bit of a sidetrack. I just wanted to talk about that. That's just like most people are just like, hey, we're relatively close to chimpanzees, gorillas. They eat this way. Why can't we? And it's like, no, there are some clear differences.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. That does come up a lot. That is a good point. But yeah, I found this quote online. I don't want to say that I made it up because I didn't. But it says, you aren't what you eat. You are what you absorb. And I think that's great. Because a lot of people assume, like, you know, you eat a sandwich, it goes in our bodies, that now that's inside our body. But technically, that's not true. Everything that's in our stomach, that's in our small intestines, large intestines, that's technically still outside our body. Our body has to extract those nutrients and then make them part of us. So it doesn't matter what you eat. It matters what your body absorbs.
You know, I've never heard that quote before, but I really like it. That's a good quote.
It is, right? It's perfect. I love it, too.
All right. So, yeah, the first nutrient that we're going to be talking about is vitamin B12. This is a very big one. Almost every single plant-based argument, this is the first one that most people are going to come up with. So the only place that you can really get B12, and it's not only B12, there's other B vitamins as well, is you're only going to be getting them from animal sources. Beef being one of the best ways. You can get B12 in mushrooms. Mushrooms aren't a plant, by the way. They're fungi. So that's its own little section right there.
Do you know how vegans feel about mushrooms?
I feel like it doesn't have a face.
So it's okay.
I think it's okay. I've never heard anybody say, oh, no, I don't eat mushrooms for...
Because I'm a vegan.
As a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, I would have never known, and I don't think most people do know, that some mushrooms contain B12. And the only reason I actually looked into this was because you read that book on mushrooms and you had mentioned that to me.
Yeah, and honestly, there's nowhere near enough information on mushrooms when you're trying to get nutritional facts on that type of stuff. It's very, very poor.
Yeah, and I know, so I did a little bit of a deep dive just into the amount of B12 in mushrooms. And it's kind of like you said, the information out there isn't very good. It's not complete. And it really depends on where you're getting the mushroom, the amount of sun that particular mushroom got. Like, it depends. The values can change, like, dramatically.
Yeah, there's a ton of variables, and there's very little even information on, like, well, what type of mushroom is it? Is it a portobello? Is it a shiitake? Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's so many variables that go into it. So, like, most of the information you're taking, or that you're going to find out there, just take a little bit of grain of salt, because it might not be the whole story.
Just to be generous to vegans, vegetarians, I took the best numbers I can come by. So I took the best mushroom under the best conditions and the most that they have measured so far. And it seems like per 100 gram serving of mushrooms, it'll provide at max 5% of your recommended RDA for B12. And RDA is just a recommended daily allowance, so it's kind of like just a minimum amount recommended by the government. And just if you do that math out, the best case scenario, if you're only going to get B12 from mushrooms, you're going to have to eat over 4 pounds of mushrooms a day just to hit the bare minimum amount of B12. And that's not realistic. No one in their right mind is going to eat 4 pounds of mushrooms a day.
And that's every day, right? That's not just like you need this once a week.
Yes. 4 pounds of mushrooms, what else are you eating? You're going to be so full, it'd be ridiculous.
And that's also going to be in optimal conditions, and that you're a very good methylator as well, being able to convert that B12.
Exactly.
So if you're not in optimal conditions, maybe 5 pounds, maybe more, if you're a bigger person, because I'm sure that 4 pound mark is for, what, a 150-pound person?
Yeah, 150-pound white guy, like every normal thing is. You know what I mean? The standard American person.
Yeah, I'm a 150-pound white guy. Most rooms I walk into, as far as males are concerned, I'm the smallest male. So that means that most people should be eating 5-6 pounds of mushrooms, maybe more.
So in comparison, if you were going to get your B12 from an animal source product, let's say beef, all you would need to eat is 3 ounces to get your RDA for beef. And 3 ounces is nothing. That's like less than 1/5 of a pound. Like, a child can eat that, no problem.
That is like a small hamburger patty. Yeah, like that's a fast food size hamburger patty. Mm-hmm.
Just a single, not even a double, like just a single. So
yeah, that 99-cent like cheeseburger.
You think that has like no nutrition in it, but as far as your B12 goes, it has enough for you, you're fine.
And a good thing with vitamin B12 is that you're not really going to overdose on it. You can take as much as you want. So you can eat, I eat at least a pound of beef a day. So I'm getting 5 times the RDA, never had any issues. Like, it's water soluble. If you get too much of it, you'll pee it out. It's not a big deal. And honestly, like, if you were to supplement on it, they give you crazy amounts to supplement on.
Oh, yeah. Thousands and thousands of times more than that. Yeah. But there is some data out there saying that vegans and vegetarians are more deficient in B12. So specifically, it says that vegans are 12 to 15 times as likely to be deficient in vitamin B12 than omnivores. And that's just simply because they are not getting, they don't have an adequate source to get it from. They have to supplement with them.
Yeah, any supplement is not going to be as good from a bioavailability standpoint as real food. Like, we've been consuming real food. Our bodies are designed to extract these vitamins from real food. Our bodies aren't designed to extract stuff from supplements. Like, we're trying to engineer the supplements so that they can work, you know, optimally in our body, but it's still a work in progress. That's why if you go to a GNC, every time you walk in there, there's going to be some new stuff because they're keep trying to come up with a proper formula. So there's no supplement out there that's going to be as good as just real food.
That's true. Yeah, and being deficient in B vitamins is a big deal. It is unhealthy, and vitamin B deficiency is correlated to an increase in blood homocysteine levels. So elevated homocysteine is linked to heart disease, and homocysteine is a product of methionine metabolism, and the vitamin cofactors B6, B9, and B12 are all needed to fully metabolize methionine and reduce blood homocysteine levels. So that's why these B vitamins are so important.
B12 deficiency is very, very common. Some recent studies have shown that up to 77% of vegetarians are B12 deficient, and 92% of vegans are B12 deficient, compared to omnivores, which is just 11%. So it's not hard to get B12. You don't need a whole lot of, you know, animal sources. You just need a little bit. And that's why that number jumps from 11% to 77% or 92%. That's a very large increase. That's sevenfold, eightfold, ninefold.
Yeah. And like you said before, just think how many people go vegan for health reasons, yet being B12 deficient leads to elevated homocysteine, which leads to heart disease. Like, that's the exact opposite of being healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you are cutting out some stuff that is going to be beneficial, but you're also just, you're being malnourished in other departments.
Yeah.
So some signs of B12 deficiency, I mean, these are very common symptoms. Fatigue, weakness, memory loss. Pretty much like if you just, you're not functioning properly, any sort of neurological issues, that's where you're going to notice it. So like you're, for example, you're great at doing crossword puzzles, and then one day you can't even get one word. Yeah, that's like you're vitamin B12 deficient. Something along those lines. Or you just don't have any energy that day. That's why a lot of energy drinks are loaded with vitamin B12. Is because it gives you energy. It gives you proper neurological function. So if you are plant-based and you are looking to get B12, get a methylated B12 supplement. You can get B12 from some plant sources like seaweed and spirulina, but the conversion ratio just really isn't that good. Your body's not going to be converting it into the B12 that our body needs very well. So it's better just to take a methylated B12 supplement. And if when you go to the supplement store, look for a methyl B12. If it's it'll say methyl on the bottle.
Yeah, and if it doesn't say methyl, then it's not.
Yeah, and then just get a different form. It's not much more expensive. It's still relatively cheap, so you're not going to break the bank by doing that.
Exactly.
Or you could just go buy some beef. Yeah. That's even healthier supplement.
Even healthier, yeah. And probably cheaper, too, honestly.
Yeah. It definitely tastes better.
It definitely tastes better than pills, yeah. Another thing that comes up, and this talks about absorbability and how plants do offer some of these nutrients, but just not in the right form, or at least not in the right form for humans. So a big one of that is iron. So the type of iron in animals is called heme iron, while plants contain non-heme iron. So non-heme iron isn't absorbed by the body very well. So you can consume a bunch of iron if you're vegan, but if your body isn't absorbing it, you can still be iron deficient.
Is that just because there's no blood in plants?
Well, yeah, it's just I don't know why they don't have that type of iron, but that's a good point. Plants use magnesium to bind oxygen. We use iron. So that's why those green leafy vegetables have magnesium in them, you know, like spinach, but they don't have iron. Yeah, so it's just a completely different type of iron. And a little quote here, an increased prevalence of iron deficiency was reported in macrobiotic vegetarians who consume brown rice, which is rich in phytates as their staple food. And so that just kind of piggybacks on the type of iron isn't absorbed very well, but also there's anti-nutrients called phytates in these vegetables, which bind to minerals, and this one specifically iron, making even the poor absorbable iron in the plants non-absorbable, period, because it binds to a phytate, not allowing your body to absorb it. So it's kind of like a double whammy with plants. They're just not a good source of iron in any way, shape, or form. And actually, a beautiful thing with phytates that are in plants, which again is an anti-nutrient that binds to iron, it only binds to heme iron. Or excuse me, it only binds to non-heme iron, which is in plants. So if you were to eat a bunch of beef and let's say with spinach, something that is high in phytates, it won't bind to the iron in the beef. So that heme iron isn't affected by phytates. And I love that. I think that's beautiful. You know, it makes a lot of sense.
Plant-based forms of iron are not found in coffee and dairy products. They're actually inhibited by coffee and dairy products and teas. So you're going to be absorbing those iron worse if you're consuming them with coffee, tea, or dairy. So if you are trying to get iron from a plant-based diet, the only source is going to be from a supplement.
Okay, so the next mineral we want to touch on that is lacking in a vegan diet is zinc. And zinc is an essential trace element. It's needed for hormone functioning, for reproductive fitness, for cardiovascular health, optimal insulin functioning, as well as just mental well-being and performance. It's very vital. It's a cofactor in a lot of reactions, similar to magnesium is. Zinc deficiency is responsible for retarded mental and physical development in delayed puberty. So that's how important it is. Like, if you don't get enough zinc, it'll really stunt your growth.
So men really pay attention to zinc. Zinc is involved with testosterone. So if you're having any sort of ED, or you're looking to get bigger, stronger in the gym, you want zinc. Zinc is very important for elevated testosterone levels.
Exactly. And that's why zinc deficiency, especially in adolescents, can delay puberty and cause like developmental challenges. Because that's when the hormone signals are coming in. That's why your body is designed to have that rush of testosterone to constantly turn guys into guys. And that's why having a zinc deficiency can mess that up.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't really find any supplemental sources for zinc. I just know that vegetarian diets, you're usually going to absorb zinc worse than compared to like an omnivorous diet, somewhere between 30% worse, maybe 50% worse. There's several reasons I go into it, but mostly if you want to get a good source of zinc, eat some steak.
Yeah, that really goes down or comes down to the anti-nutrients as well, because the first reported cases of zinc deficiency came in the 60s, and they came out of Egypt and Iran, and it tied into a high intake of unleavened bread, and that's just bread that doesn't use yeast. So think of, it's called roti, it's like a small, almost like pita style bread. Is pita, is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that type of bread. And so this bread doesn't use yeast. So the yeast can break down some of the phytates, making more of the zinc bioavailable in these foods. So people were eating a ton of this type of bread, and that was their main source of zinc, yet they weren't getting enough because of the phytates. So that really shows how strongly these phytates bind to zinc and make it inaccessible to us. And zinc deficiency is high in areas with a high cereal consumption and low animal food consumption. So also these areas, plant-based areas with a lot of cereal, something that goes along with that is fiber. And so fiber also makes zinc inaccessible. It kind of acts like a phytate in a way, kind of forms a shell around minerals so your body can't break them down. It's just rough. It's going to be hard to get enough zinc when you're eating a plant-based vegan-style diet. But like you said, a great source of zinc is meat. So the RDA for zinc is around 15 milligrams, so not that much. So in 100 grams of beef, which is nothing, you get 40% of the RDA. So 1 pound of beef, you'll get about 27 milligrams of zinc, which is almost double the RDA. So it's real easy to get zinc from animal products. And again, you won't get any of the anti-nutrients in these animal products. So all the zinc that is there, your body will absorb all that it needs.
Yeah, that's a great point. So that RDA of 15 is probably even lower if you're not eating a bunch of plants that are going to be filled with these anti-nutrients, because they're going to be absorbing it even better.
Yeah, and I like that example of the Iran and Egyptian like kids developing zinc deficiency. It was, because I've talked about anti-nutrients to people before, and I've heard like various nutritionists talk about anti-nutrients and saying like, oh, the science isn't really there yet. We don't know how bad these substances really are. And that's just, I think this example shows that that's not true. Like, these people weren't eating like particularly a low zinc diet. There is zinc in some of these foods. They were eating a diet that was so high in anti-nutrients that it just blocked their absorption of zinc. So those anti-nutrients really are a problem if you're not eating a, you know, or if you are eating a vegan-based diet, they will cause malnutrition.
Yeah, especially if you're eating it in a processed form, which cereals always are. When you're processing any sort of food, you're destroying a lot of stuff that goes with it. There's some digestive enzyme. There's probably a lot of things that are going to balance it out. Like if you're eating it more of like a natural plant source, you might be getting either fewer anti-nutrients or maybe something else in there that will help counteract it. But if you're eating something super processed like a cereal, you don't really know what's in there, what's been removed. And like our bodies don't really know how they're going to react to it because it's a new food substance, something that we haven't been eating for very long.
Yeah, they've never seen it before.
Yeah, and I don't know one person that stopped eating cereal and got worse. Exactly. Everybody that I know that stopped eating cereal has gotten noticeably healthier.
Yeah, that's a great point. So another vitamin, this one's a little more, I guess, obscure. You don't hear too many people talk about it. You know, you hear about B12 a lot, but vitamin K2 is very important. And vitamin K2 is important for bone health, so it ensures that calcium is deposited in the right places. So without sufficient K2, the body is more prone to deposit calcium in the arteries instead of the bones where it belongs. So vitamin K2 will also reduce cardiovascular disease, help preventing diabetes, and improve hormone functioning. So K2 is important in so many ways. And we talked about it again with the magnesium. Guys, I feel like I talk about magnesium so much these days, but how important it is to get to get calcium in the right spots. So you can eat, I don't care how much calcium you eat. If it's all going to your bones or it's supposed to go, that's fine. But you need these other vitamins and cofactors to tell your body where to put the calcium. Because if you put the calcium in your smooth, like your arteries and your smooth muscles, they cause stiffening. And that's what leads to all these diseases, like heart disease and strokes, things like that, you know?
Yeah, everybody knows the term calcification, knows that it's bad if it's happening in your arteries.
And so we need these things to prevent that calcium buildup. Exactly.
You can find K2 in butter, egg yolks, any sort of like fatty animal products. You can also get it in a couple plant-based, something like a fermented soy product like natto. Natto? How do you say that?
Yeah, I think it's natto. Yeah.
Okay. And then if you're going to get a K2 supplement, like a vegan K2 supplement, it's going to be coming from natto. Most likely.
Yeah, and the supplement should say MK4 on it. So that's the part, or I guess the type of K2 that you want is the MK4. And the thing is, this comes back to absorption. You can get vitamin K from plants. You can get vitamin K1 from plants, usually green leafy vegetables. But again, K1 isn't absorbed nearly as well as K2. So we want K2. That's the vitamin that's really doing the heavy lifting. That's the one telling your body where to put the calcium and what to do with it. So then, like we said, if you're going to be vegan, you have to supplement with K2.
Yeah, or you're really running the risk of calcification of your arteries.
And again, people go vegan for health reasons. And what is healthy about calcification of your arteries? Nothing.
Healthy for the hospital. They're going to make some more money off of you.
Oh, yeah. That's sad, and it's so true.
So that moves us on to the next one. This is another very common one that gets brought up a lot, is vitamin D, particularly D3. So the best source that you can get of vitamin D is going outside, being in the direct sun, not being outside or not on the other side of a window, like direct sunshine and exposed skin. That is the very best way you can supplement with vitamin D. But unfortunately, because of like skin cancer scares and all these other things, and just like the weather, the type of environment that we live in, nobody's really doing that. You're looked at as a weirdo if you're outside for 20 minutes a day getting sunshine.
Yeah, with your shirt off.
Oh, yeah. And it's like you're the healthy, you're doing what's healthy, and you're the weirdo for doing that. So if you're going to be going on a plant-based diet, vitamin D supplement, you should be doing at least 800 to 2,000 IU daily. That's just an international unit. You can get D3 from only animal sources, places like yolks and fatty fish and dairy, but that's it. If you're going to be getting it, you can only get vitamin D2 from plants, and our bodies aren't great at converting that to D3, so it's better just to get the D3 from its own, from the animal products.
Exactly. And this is going to be a very common theme throughout this whole podcast, is there are some of these nutrients are in plants, but if our body doesn't convert them to what we need, then what's the point?
Yeah, and why are you going to be on a diet for your health when most of these foods are coming in there? Like, yeah, you're getting these vitamin D, but you're getting it in like a grade C form or a grade D form when you could just be eating egg yolks, and now you're getting it in like grade A form. Yeah. If you're going to be doing stuff for health reasons, take it all the way.
So another one is vitamin A. And this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. So a lot of people think vitamin A is just vitamin A. Like there's really no variations between it. And they say, oh, you can get vitamin A in plants. And that's not true. Vitamin A is retinol. That's like the real vitamin A, not beta carotene. So that's what's in plants is beta carotene. So our body will convert beta carotene into retinol. But that conversion happens drastically different depending on who you are and your body at that particular time. So some people won't be able to convert beta-carotene to retinol in adequate amounts. They just won't. Some people will, but some people won't. So I think it really does need to be stated that the vitamin A in plants is not what our body really needs. Our body really needs retinol. And so you won't know if you're going to be deficient in vitamin A unless you eat, you know, plants for a few years and then you'll develop a deficiency. But don't run that risk and just eat animal products or supplement with vitamin A if you're going to be a vegan.
Yeah, the best places are going to be places like seafood, organ meats, eggs, dairy. All you got to do is just eat a couple servings of that a day, a couple of that a week, and you're good.
Yeah. And there was a study with women in Indonesia. They had an increased intake of dark green leafy vegetables, which are supposedly high in vitamin A. and that did not improve vitamin A status in vitamin A deficient women. And that just shows that these women did not have the capability to convert beta carotene into retinol. So that really is a real thing. So don't let people, you know, tell you different.
So, for example, if you wanted to get the RDA of vitamin A per day, you can just eat one single serving of liver per week. That's for the entire week. That'll take care of your needs for the day, for each day, for an entire week. So 7 days. Or you can eat 2 cups of carrots. That's a pound of carrots. 1 cup of sweet potatoes. That's half a pound of sweet potatoes. That's a lot. Or 2 cups of kale. That's another pound of kale. You have to do that every single day. So you can just have a little bit of liver, or you can eat like a fucking rabbit all day, every day.
And hope your body converts it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things that are going on with that. In each one of those, you're getting, well, especially in a sweet potato, you're getting a lot of extra sugar that your body doesn't really need. It's going to take a lot longer to cut that up, cook it. I mean, it's just, it's not very time efficient. It's not very calorie dense because you're adding a shit ton of extra starches with each of these, a lot of fiber that you don't really need. Yeah, there's a lot of negative things that are going to be coming along with that. Or you just eat a little bit of liver.
And that's it. You're good to go.
Yeah.
So I had a little list of honorable mentions. So things that you're only going to find in animal products. And if we were to break these all out and talk about them individually, it would take hours. And some of them we already have. So it's called choline, carnosine, creatine, carnitine, and cholesterol. The 5 C's. So these elements, you're only going to find in animal products, and they're all vital. If you just think about cholesterol in itself, cholesterol is essential for life. And without cholesterol, the body could not function. Period. Done. And you're not going to get cholesterol from plants.
We are our hormones, and many of our hormones are made up of cholesterol. So we need cholesterol.
We do. Yeah. Cholesterol got a bad rap for a long time, so it's a completely essential nutrient. We need it.
Yeah, not all cholesterol is bad cholesterol or good cholesterol. Like, cholesterol is important. There's so much of it. Isn't the brain where most of our cholesterol is found?
Yeah, Yeah, the myelin sheath, like, around our neurons, it keeps everything insulated, keeps everything moving and firing correctly, all that.
Okay, so this podcast ended up running pretty long. Of course, I can ramble when talking about vegan diets, so we split it up into 2 parts. This is the end of part 1. In part 2, we're going to go over protein, specifically talking about the difference between crude protein and true protein, and how the vegan diet lacks a lot of nitrogen in the form of amino acids. And we're also going to touch on omega-3 fats and how important they are and where they're lacking in the vegan diet. So thank you for listening. I hope everyone has a happy and healthy week.